Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 9 months 2017 results conference call of RTL Group. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I'd like to turn the floor over to Andrew Buckhurst. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this conference call for RTL Group's results covering the first 9 months of 2017. Today's speaker is our CFO, Elmar Heggen, and he will now start the presentation on page 3.
Thank you, Andrew, and good afternoon from me as well. Over the first 9 months of the year, RTL Group has continued to deliver good financial results. Group revenue increased by 2.8% to 4.35 billion euros, with EBITDA coming in at 889 million euros. This results in a group EBITDA margin of 20.4%. The reported net profit for RTL Group shareholders came in at 434 million euros. This is just down 9 million year on year, despite the fact that we had a significant positive one-off benefit from Group MC's last year. Moving to the financial overview on page number 5. Page 5 shows the summarized result for the 3 months ending 30th of September. The results in the third quarter were strong, with all of our KPIs reporting a positive development. Third quarter revenue rose 1.5% to 1,372,000,000 euros, with our larger business units of Mediengruppe RTL Deutschland and Group MCs reporting growth of 7.8% and 4.2% respectively. Fremantle Media reported a slight quarter-on-quarter revenue decline, primarily due to a negative swing in Forex and some non-renewal of shows. In our other markets, other TV markets, RTL Nederland remained weak, while there was a slight improvement in Belgium, although the market was still down. Reported EBITDA in the third quarter came in at 263 million euros, an improvement of 17.4% year-on-year. The main drivers for this increase were our German TV operations, which were up 26 million euros or 24% during the quarter, and Group MCs, which reported an absolute improvement of 23 million euros. This equates to a growth of 36.5%. Let's now move on to page 6, the 9 month results. Reported group revenue for the first 9 months was up 2.8% to 4,350,000,000 euros. Underlying revenue, which is, as you know, at constant scope and exchange rates, grew by 2.1%. Group operating expenses rose by 2.5% compared to 1 year ago, reflecting investments in new businesses and increases in program costs. This results in a reported EBITDA of 889 million euros with a margin of 20.4%. Adjusted for the positive one-off effect at Group MCs in 2016, the group's EBITDA rose 3.4% year on year. The group's net debt at the end of the period was 1,097,000,000 euros, slightly higher than last year. This reflects the weaker cash conversion, which I will come to shortly. The net profit attributable to RTL Group shareholders for the period was only very slightly down by 9 million euros at 434 million euros. This is largely due to the lower EBITDA, offset to a certain extent by a non-cash gain on remeasurement and gains on disposal amounting to 21 million euros in total. The group's net result translates into earnings per share of 2.83 euros. Turning now to page 8 for the cash flow. For the first 9 months, net cash flow from operating activities amounted to 387 million euros. Our cash conversion came in at 76%, largely as a result of a build-up of long-term receivables at Fremantle, as already explained around the half-year results, and an increase in working capital driven by higher inventory at our German TV operations. In terms of acquisition of subsidiaries, the group has spent a net 42 million euros so far in 2017. Moving now to the business review, starting with Mediengruppe RTL Deutschland on page 10. Our German channels achieved a combined audience share of 28.8% in the target group 14 to 59. During the first 9 months of this year, Mediengruppe RTL Deutschland's family of channels increased the lead over the main commercial competitor to 4.6 percentage points, up 1.6 points from last year. RTL Television remains the clear market leader with an audience share of 11.5%, while our second channel, Vox, continued its strong growth trajectory with an increase of 0.2 points year-on-year. In terms of the financial result, the net TV advertising market is estimated to be still down year-on-year by between 2 and 3%, with Mediengruppe RTL Deutschland clearly outperforming the market as their advertising revenue increased by approximately 1%. Overall, revenue increased to 1,573 million euros, an increase of 4.8%. EBITDA is also up by 4.8% to 500 million euros, resulting in a stable high margin across the first 9 months of 2017 of 31.8%. Moving now to M6 on page 11. Audiences remain solid following a very strong performance this year. The main channel, M6, reported a slight decrease in audience share to 15.7%, which is not surprising given the record audiences generated by the Euro 2016 last year. Tister and W9 continued to perform well, and the family of free-to-air channels achieved a combined audience share of 22.4%, 0.1 percentage points up when compared to the same period last year. For the first 9 months of this year, the French TV advertising market was estimated to be stable, with Group M6 slightly outperforming, significantly outperforming the market. Revenue increased to 937 million euros, largely as a result of the outperformance when it comes to advertising. Reported EBITDA was 258 million euros, down from the reported 270 million last year. However, the 2016 results, as we mentioned earlier, includes a positive one-off amounting to 43 million euros. Adjusting for this effect, EBITDA growth would have been 13.7% year-on-year. Now turn to RTL Netherlands on page number 12. Audiences continue to be satisfactory, with a family of channels reporting a combined share of 30.4%, slightly down on the same period last year. Overall, for the period January to September, we estimate the net TV advertising market to be down just over 6%. Within this overall market environment, our advertising revenue was down 9%. Accordingly, revenue decreased 4.9% to 330 million euros for the first 9 month period. Reported EBITDA came in at 46 million euros as a result of weaker revenue and continued investments in programming and our local SVOD business, Videolab. Turning now to Fremantle Media on page 13. For the first 9 months of this year, reported revenue is up 2.2% at 983 million euros, with a revenue bridge on the right-hand side of the slide, where we break out for additional details. As you will note, Forex has turned negative, resulting in a swing of 14 million euros in the quarter. In addition, in Q3, a number of shows in the UK, including Keith Lemon and The Bank on the Money, were not renewed. EBITDA on a year-to-date basis was stable at 60 million euros when compared to last year. This includes almost 5 million euros of startup losses that primarily relate to the MPN TV move. Let's now turn to slide number 14. Here we provide you with an overview of just some of the drama formats that are in the pipeline and the expected production and revenue recognition windows. During the course of 2018, we'll provide updates on this so that you can track changes and follow how the how this impacts Fremantle in terms of revenue development. Coming back to this year, the 2017 revenue guidance for Fremantle has now been updated. The reasons for this are twofold. Firstly, the prudent view on the likely forex impact on the revenue given the third quarter results, and secondly, timing effects from two shows, Hard Sun and Picnic at Hanging Rock. In terms of the two dramas mentioned, we have slightly different effects happening. In case of Hard Sun, Fremantle Media is expecting to record the delivery to the BBC and hence the revenue from the show in Q4. However, the international exploitation and the sale to Hulu has moved into early 2018. For Picnic at Hanging Rock, the whole revenue recognition window has slipped into the first quarter 2018 from an expected delivery of Q4 2017. These effects result in a lowered revenue guidance for this year. Turning now to digital on page 15. We continue to benefit from dynamic growth in digital revenue. For the period to 30th September 2017, digital revenue grew 30% to 560 million euros. However, revenue growth slowed in the third quarter across our MPN activities and our EdTech businesses. Our MPN businesses were impacted by lower indirect monetization and ad fill rates impacting RPMs and a slower than expected ramp-up in direct ad sales and branded entertainment. And in the case of SpotX, a number of factors came into play in the quarter. Firstly, brand safety was clearly a much talked about issue over the summer, and this led to a call for more transparency and quality. In response to these concerns, SpotX has, like Google, introduced an authorized reseller program that requires a wide list of partners. Not all platforms have been so rigorous in their approach, however, and this has hindered SpotX growth in the third quarter. In the medium to long run, we believe this strategy is the right one to follow as quality and verification become key. SpotX has been very active in closing fraudulent sites and URLs in order to provide clean data to clients. Secondly, the market was slower as U.S. political spend around the presidential elections last year was a clear one-off. And lastly, SpotX has to manage a shift from its business model from managed services to programmatic and a shift from open marketplaces to private ones. Despite these short-term issues, we strongly believe that SpotX is well-positioned for future growth with a clear focus on quality accounts, particularly OTT inventory owners, such as MVBDs, broadcasters and networks, OTT platforms, and device manufacturers. The platform aims to provide massive supply that is fraud-free, high-quality, and close possible to addressable TV. As we announced at the end of August, we are accelerating the execution of our total video strategy with an ambitious growth plan for our EdTech businesses. In October, we took the decision to combine both SpotX and SmartPip into one integrated EdTech company. This will be achieved by the end of 2018. The combined entity will focus on ad server development and addressable TV while bringing dynamic ad insertion capabilities in-house. The close cooperation between the group's minority shareholdings, VideoAmp and Clipped, will also continue. Let's now move to page number 17, the outlooks. We confirm our outlook of moderate revenue growth, provided that there is no substantial negative effect from foreign exchange movements and no major changes in the economic climate across RTL Group's markets. We are, however, revising upwards our guidance for EBITDA for the full year 2017. This has now been increased to slightly up, i.e. between 1 and 2.5% growth off the reported number last year. This brings us to the end of the formal presentation. Andrew and I are now available for all sorts of questions you might have.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you do have any questions, you can join the queue by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, just make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow us to receive that signal. Once again, that is star 1 for any questions, and we'll pause for just a moment. Okay, we will take our first question from Annick Moss with Liberum.
Hi, good afternoon. My first question is if you could give us an idea of what the TV advertising market is doing for you in Q4, and also maybe comment on the different advertising categories. What do you see specifically for the FMCGs in Q4? And then also, if you could comment on Belgium, you've said that you've seen an improvement in Q3, which coincides with TF1 also launching in Belgium. So if you could give us just a comment on what you're seeing here, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, Annick, I'll try to start. Let's maybe go market by market and start with the biggest market in which we operate, which is the German market. In Q4, our TV advertising revenue will be fully in line with our expectations, which is overall a flat development compared to Q4 2016. Please keep in mind that we had very aggressive comps because last year the fourth quarter was particularly strong, even more so in December. So we are comparing against a very ambitious target in that respect, but we believe that we should be pretty flat for the fourth quarter. Which basically means that.
What would be the add-on assumption in this kind of Q4 advertising assumption for Germany? Does that assume a very strong add-on period or not at all?
No, I mean, relatively modest, to be honest, Annick, because December, as Elmer mentioned, was up so strongly last year. We clearly don't believe that we're going to have such a record amount this year, and we can hope, but at the moment, given the very low visibility, we can't see December at all, but we are not anticipating in our guidance a strong add-on booking.
Yeah. So we believe that overall Mediengruppe for the fourth quarter should be pretty flat compared to the fourth quarter of 2016. When we look into France, we had a solid start into the fourth quarter, and also MCs communicated recently that they are satisfied with what they have seen in October, and they remain confident that also November, December should be a good month. The other markets, talking about, they continue to be soft. So overall, we see a continuation of the trends that we have reported for January to September when we talk about the other markets.
And your second question was on Belgium.
Yeah, and also just on the advertising categories, I mean, the type of advertisers I meant by that. So what do you see, for instance, do you see the FMCG companies spending more with you again, or are they still withholding their spend? If you can just comment on the different type of advertisers as well.
To be honest, Annick, we don't have that detail here at the moment, not across all the various territories. But we haven't heard anything when I've been speaking to the sales teams saying there's been a comeback from any one particular type of category or another.
Okay, great. And then the last one, yes, was in Belgium.
On Belgium. So, yeah, I mean, Emma mentioned on the call or during the scripts that Belgium improved slightly, i.e. the rate of decline slowed in Q3, but it's still overall negative. What we're seeing in Q4 is perhaps a slightly better picture as well. So the rate of decline, again, is decreasing. And to be honest, the impact of TF1 in the advertising market in Belgium at the moment has been, shall we say, very limited.
For this year, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Moving on, our next question will come from Lisa Yang with Goldman Sachs.
Hi, I have a follow-up question on the TV advertising market. Could you maybe give us a sense of how October has trended for RTL in Germany? I understand that December comps are very difficult, and that's why you have a more cautious view on the quarter. But obviously you heard ProSieben saying mid-single-digit growth, so just wondering if you've seen similar trends or you lost market share. Secondly is on your ad tech businesses. I'm just wondering how you think about the impact of GDPR, who's going to basically be in place in May next year. And the third question is on the other revenue. Just wondering why it was so weak in the quarter, and what drove that? How should we think about Q4? Thanks.
Okay, maybe I'll start with the German ad market for the fourth quarter. October, November, 2 months together, we believe we will be pretty flat compared to prior year. And as Andrew pointed out, even though we don't have a very strong evidence at this point in time, we are rather kind of confident to be able to be operating a similar amount of business for December. That was particularly a strong month last year, but still, when we talk to our colleagues, they are confident that overall for the fourth quarter, Mediengruppe, and I'm not talking about the market, but Mediengruppe, should be flat. I cannot really give you any kind of reliable guidance for the market, but provided that, ProSieben will be able to live up to their expectation, the market might be slightly up with them gaining share in the fourth quarter. But still, for the full of 2017, Mediengruppe will have outperformed the market, because we believe we will see in a market that is going to be down -1 to maybe a bit less. But clearly, Mediengruppe is expected to gain share.
Your second question was on GDPR, I think, Lisa.
Yes.
Clearly, there is a massive amount of work that's ongoing at the moment across all of our business units. Not just our digital business, but even, our broadcasting operations, where we've got obviously outward-facing websites. And obviously the whole idea of consentment is a massive consequence of GDPR. As I said, there's a lot of internal work going on. There's an awful lot of compliance work going on, but also a lot of development work going on in terms of new IT software being created. We're in a massive data mapping risk assessment process, and there's a lot of obviously exchange of information. We've got a software tool that's also been put in place to help us progress through the GDPR questions. There's a big questionnaire, which I've also had to fill in 4 times with 63 different types of questions. What we can say, I think, yes, it's going to be a massive amount of additional compliance work. We can't give you a number as to, what that might mean, because a lot of that's internal development. And we can't tell you at this stage what it might mean in terms of our businesses, so to say, post May, June 2018, when GDPR becomes live. But you can rest assured that we are taking this incredibly seriously, and there's a lot of work that's ongoing. Your third question, Lisa, I didn't quite catch that.
It's the other revenue, which I thought was quite weak in Q3. Just wondering what happened there. I think it was down 1%.
It is down 1.4%, but that's just the picture for the third quarter. If you take the year-to-date figures, actually other revenue is up 12.7%.
And it comes back down to the slowdown, effectively, in our digital activities, which Alma talked about. Obviously, in terms of our ad tech businesses, in particular SpotX, issues around brand safety, migrating business models, so one-off political spend in 2016, which obviously didn't happen in 2017 around the U.S. elections.
Okay.
And then on the MPNs, so the old MCNs, clearly, YouTube was a much talked about brand safety concern, through the summer, with brands being maybe not so happy having some of their adverts next to certain types of videos. And that had an impact on what we call RPM, so the equivalents in the digital world of the CPMs, the cost per thousands, cost per views, on YouTube. So
okay,
a very specific set of scenario around digital.
But there's no reason why that should get better in Q4.
No, in all honesty.
Okay.
But obviously, you know, we work through these problems, and we would, you know, anticipate that 2018, again, we should be on a good growth path.
Okay, thank you.
Next from Deutsche Bank, we'll hear from Laurie Davison.
Hi there. First question, ProSieben came out today and said they are reinvesting 20, 30 million in programming in fourth quarter. They're not ruling out more reinvestment over 2018. Does this potentially make you rethink margins for the German TV business? Is there a risk that margins go down next year? That's the first question. Second question was, you just mentioned some non-renewals on Fremantle as well as the phasing impacts. Can you just explain what those were? Thank you.
First question, Laurie, you know, we've been very consistent around our programming spend in Germany, and it's always been up around inflation, so 2 to 3% per annum. There are obviously maybe different phases during phasings in terms of the how that is spent, but across a year, we would expect our programming budget to increase by 2 to 3%. We see no change in that going forward at the level of Media Group at RTL Deutschland. So we don't feel as though we need to make a aggressive investment in new programming. We have a very good programming grid, which we renew, you know, regularly and update as and when we see fit, but it's not about throwing a check at it. As I said, you know, 2 to 3% is a good estimate for program cost increases next year. So the margins in Germany should be maintained. In the Fremantle question on terms of the non-renewals. So the non-renewals in the UK were, I mean, there were several shows, but in particular, it was, as Elmer mentioned, Peak Lemon show and a show called Bang on the Money. Those were the bigger shows, shall we say, in the UK that were not renewed. There were several other smaller ones. And then the slippage effects were on slide 14. So in terms of, you know, why the revenue guidance has been changed for Fremantle. So it's effectively the international exploitation and the sale to Hulu of Hard Sun, even though the sale to the BBC will be recorded in this quarter. The show actually won't be on air until 2018 on the BBC. And then the other effect effectively was Picnic at Hanging Rock, where the whole revenue recognition window slipped out of 17 into 18 in terms of both the delivery and also the international exploitation. And if you think about the guidance change from where we were in August to where we are now, we're looking at a 2 or 3 percentage point move. It's effectively split 50-50 between FX and this slippage in terms of the dramas.
But that should also mean that next year revenue of Fremantle should be up significantly, because we also will have Idols, which we didn't have in 2017, and the slippage will obviously also be helpful for 2018.
And sorry, just a quick comeback on that. In terms of the cash impact of that, presumably that's quite negative in terms of the working capital shift for this year as well, in terms of cash conversion. So we should be thinking in terms of cash conversion, again, sort of a lower year than the 100% you've done historically.
It will clearly be below 100% because we are about to transform also the portfolio of Fremantle in a way that we have a stronger contribution coming from the drama and from the scripted business, and that, as you know, comes with a different cash title. So I continue to believe that for the full year, the 76% that we have reported on the 30th of September will be higher for the full year. So I think that the fourth quarter will help us to correct the average for 2017 to a higher figure, so 85% plus. Yet I believe that the fact that we build a number of receivables at the level of Fremantle, and that is basically linked to the business that we conduct with the various AdWords platforms, that will probably continue to also be a subject for 2018 and 2019.
Okay, that's very clear. Thanks.
Our next question comes from Charles Bedouin with Exane.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks. Most of the question has been answered, but I had just one to follow up the ad tech and the digital video revenues, because, I mean, there are slightly different issues, but today, clearly, your digital revenues are slowing considerably. I calculate only 3% in Q3, and we've seen that ProSieben has also been much more cautious on its overall outlook for the digital video portfolio, and I know the mixes are slightly different. So what does that tell you, maybe, when you think about, you know, next year, both in terms of revenues and profitability? Do you think it's a hiccup and you go back to strong growth and then pass to profitability, or do you change your outlook maybe for some of your assets in that part of the portfolio? Thanks.
Yeah, Charles, you're right that the third quarter has shown a significant slowdown in revenue development. Yet, if you look at the bigger tickets that we run in this digital bucket, so broadband, for example, if you take the growth rate January to September, it's still up 60%. If you take StyleHaul, it's still up from January to September 27%. And it's basically the kind of necessary brand safety measures that we had to introduce at the level of SpotX and the fact that we didn't benefit from presidential elections in 17. That basically generated the level of SpotX, a minus 10. Now, we continue to believe that this is going to not to normalize, and I believe that we should see stronger growth rates, growth rates that we were used to in the recent past, also for 2018. So we continue to believe that we will grow double-digit, and that the fact that we had to introduce some brand safety measure is not going to, in the mid to long run, decrease our revenue expectations.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you find that your question has been answered, you can remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Our next question comes from Conor O'Shea with Kepler Cheuvreux.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions. First question is on Fremantle. I just wonder if you could just precise again what now is the full year guidance for revenues and margins. Just not clear from the release what exactly you're guiding now. Second question on the German TV advertising. I think you said, Elmar, plus 1% through 9 months. Can you just remind us what it was in the first half or give us directly the third quarter number. And then the third question, just on the digital side, which is SpotX minus 10% through 9 months. Can you give us a number in the first half, if that's possible, and also any update on the broadband TV sale? Thank you.
I'll take the first one, Connor, on Fremantle. Revenue guidance is now to be broadly stable, so that in our official language means plus one, minus one on the reported revenue, so it was 1.5 billion reported last year. And then the EBITA, EBITDA will be higher than last year.
Okay.
Which will mean, obviously, that the margin will be improving.
Okay.
Briefly on your question on the German ad market for the Q3, so Mediengruppe generated an additional advertising revenue of 3.4%, which is a bit even better than what we guided, because I think that we mentioned that we expect Q3 for Mediengruppe in terms of advertising revenue to be up 3%.
Yes.
The final figure was, as I mentioned, 3.4%. And we believe that the market in Q3 did minus 1.5 to minus 2.
Okay. Great. And on SpotX, do you have a revenue number
market for
the first half?
6 months was a positive 2.5%.
Okay. Positive 2.5. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Moving on from Barclays, we have Julian Roach.
Yes, hi there. My first question is on the working capital weakness. Can you explain more? Because you mentioned inventory in Germany, I didn't really understand. That's my first question. The second question is the relative weakness in digital in Q3. So you mentioned SpotX because of brand safety, MCN because of monetization on YouTube impacting RPM. What about online advertising in Germany, which must be your highest market? Because ProSieben also mentioned that as a cause for their weakness, and you both have a large presence in online advertising in Germany. So I wanted to know what was your performance in Q3 there versus the first half. And then the last question is your friend in Unterföhring said one of the reason why they're weaker than you is they put internal revenue or kind of media for revenue in the venture line where you put it in advertising. So can you tell us by how much advertising was boosted year-to-date by you helping you, digital companies?
Okay, let me start, Julien, with the last question. You know that we do not do that much media for equity. We do far less than what you call them, our friends in Unterführung. They do it, much more than we do. I can honestly not give you a very precise figure as we speak. We can look it up, but it's tiny. It's very small. So I think that there is almost no difference caused by us including this and them not, simply because I'm not even sure what we have done in the third quarter, if any. So I cannot tell you. In terms of working capital, yes, we it's not that we do a jump from one quarter to the other, but we continue to slightly build up the inventory of Mediengruppe simply because we were at a kind of almost all-time low in the recent past. And here, when we talk about building up the inventory, it's mainly around football. You know that we own the rights of the friendly matches of the German national soccer team, and it obviously has led to the fact that we had to pay for rights that we haven't been able to broadcast for the time being.
They were effectively rights held at the end of September, Julien, for matches in the first 10 or 11 days of October. There were a couple of matches, I think, on the 8th and then the 11th, in terms of the qualifying matches for Germany for the Euro 2018. And so there was just a temporary, shall we say, build-up in inventory, which had been paid for, which obviously now reverses in October as we use the stock.
Okay. And online advertising in Germany in Q3?
Can we go into definitions? Are we in page, in stream?
Overall, everything. everything that's online, whether there was a change in trend versus the first 6 months.
I've got the Q3 numbers, and in Germany they were up mid to high single digits. In terms of advertising, digital advertising.
And were they up far more in the first half?
I don't have those numbers with me, Julien.
Okay. One for later, then.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you.
Moving on, we'll hear from Sonia Rabussier with Commerce Bank.
Yes, good afternoon. First, congratulations on the good results. Three questions from my side. First, on Fremantle, maybe you just said stable for Q4. What should we expect now for 2018 because of the slippage on the growth and EBITDA margin? Second point, just to come back to your guidance for digital revenues, you just said that they will accelerate double-digit growth in 2018. What about Q4? And last but not least, maybe I misinformation, but what about the strategic review on broadband TV? Thank you.
In terms of Fremantle, Sonia, the revenue guidance for 2018 will be a very strong moderate growth. So the moderate means 2.5 to 5, and obviously we are very confident it's going to be at the upper end, if not slightly above that moderate guidance range for 2018.
The EBITDA?
EBITDA will be an improvement again.
Okay.
Digital revenue for Q4? My guess is it will probably be slightly better than Q3, but we won't see it getting back to the growth rates that we experienced probably at the beginning of this year. So I think we've seen a dip in Q3, and we'd expect a slight improvement in Q4, but it won't be massive.
Okay.
It takes a bit of time to get things back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then an update on broadband. We're still currently working through the strategic options for the company with all of the shareholders. No decision has been made as of yet, and it's likely that this discussion will continue through into 2018. As you can imagine, it's a pretty complex exercise, and given the recent events, and we've just talked about a few of them, the well-publicized brand safety concerns on YouTube, for example, we have, along with our minority shareholders, decided to take our time and find the optimal solution, and that means that it will extend in terms of the process into 2018.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Richard Eary with UBS.
Yeah, many thanks. A number of questions have been answered, but just some clarity, actually, if you could. Reading through the big report, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's indicating that the gain from the Paris property sale is $86 million. Is that correct? And that's the number that we're going to get booked in the fourth quarter that's driving some of the EBITDA upgrade. Is that correct?
It won't be less. Yes, it's correct.
So if I just look at the $86 million addition this year onto the EBITDA that you delivered last year, 1418, that suggests a 6% increase year on year, which suggests obviously the business is down year on year ex property. Is that correct? Is that how we should read the new guidance, or have I missed something?
Not really, because you know that our Belgian management team also announced that they are in a process to transform their company, and there will be a necessity to book a provision for restructuring in the fourth quarter. Hopefully that is something that when we do outlook statements, we always do them on a reported basis, so reported against reported, and there will be the necessity to book a provision. I can't tell you how much this would be as we speak. We are looking into it, but there will be some known negative one-offs that you need to basically also take into consideration, and that would bring down the 6% to a lower percentage increase.
And remember, in terms of the starting point, Richard, as well, last year's reported obviously included the very positive impact from MCIS on the mobile M6 mobile contractual settlement.
No, I was aware of that. I was just looking at that when you actually upgraded the guidance, if it now included the property. The property
does
seem to be a bigger number, so I was just wondering whether I was missing something.
But it also includes, as Elmer mentioned, the an estimate, internal estimate that we've got in terms of the potential restructuring charge at the level of Belgium.
Okay. And I presume just doing some quick maths, that's in the tune of circa 50 million, is that right?
No,
it will be less than this, but
it will be a double-digit million.
Yes. It's too early to really give you a good enough figure, but it's not going to be 50 million. Definitely not.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Our next question comes from Mark Josephson with Equinet.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. I find that slide 14, in terms of the schedule of production for the key drama lines at Fremantle, extremely useful conceptually. I've listened to your answers to questions in terms of stable sales this year, or broadly stable this year, and a modest increase next year. But to make that diagram more usable for me, which of those bars, what are the top two important, or the most important bars of those different drama series, please?
For 2018, Mark?
Yeah, now in terms of what's more important, Hard Sun or Picnic at Hanging Rock, which are the big ones as far as revenue productions for Fremantle?
Hard Sun and Picnic are similar sizes.
Okay.
Then obviously you'd have to say that the first season or episodes of the Elena Ferrante novels. The L'Amical Génial is also a pretty big one. And then Deutschland 86, which obviously is with Amazon, is also quite important.
Okay, I've got you. Thank you.
Next, we'll move back to Larry Davidson with Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, sorry, just a quick follow-up on the SpotX option. Given that slowdown in SpotX and your comments that these issues are going to continue, has that changed your view of the valuation or the right valuation for the option on SpotX? And can you just talk about the likelihood now of that actually being exercised? Thanks.
Not really, Laurie, because we really believe that this is a kind of a one-off, so to say. It will take a bit of time until we will have fully recovered from the measures that we had to introduce, but that is not going to put into question the mid- to long-term prospects of that company, and thus the resulting implication on valuation is small.
Okay, and then just lastly on the net effects of the provisions, the MCs dropout, and the property sale, is it fair to say that that would be broadly neutral year on year?
Well, we lose the 43, we gain the 86, and then we lose a double-digit million in Belgium. So net-net, there is going to be an increase in, shall we say, one-offs from 16 through to 17, or 17 compared to 16.
But it won't be massive. Because we had one-offs in both years, but if we do a comparison, probably we look at a difference, you know, which is not extremely meaningful.
Okay.
All right, and at this time, it appears we have no further questions from the audience. I'll turn the floor back to Mr. Buckhurst for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, for joining us. I realize it's been a busy results day at your end, so I appreciate the time you've taken and for your questions and interest in RTL. Obviously, I'm around for any more questions, should you have them, today, tomorrow, whenever. And we'll be in touch as a management team in March around the full year results. Thanks once again, and have a good rest of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference call. We do appreciate you joining us. You may now disconnect.